Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll be taking your calls live in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Also try to take some Facebook questions today. But I start out with my son, David, who has got me into the social media platforms. And, oh my goodness, he's got me working. I mean, now it's not just the broadcast, it's the podcast, it's the vlogs, it's the Facebook Live. In fact, I'm going to start doing more Facebook Live sessions in the very near future. And he even gives me little notes to read before I go into the studio. David, I have been doing this for 30 years. So here's the note from David. Opening, freestyle this. Okay, I will, David. This is the last episode of the Bible Answer Man broadcast before I head to the hospital for my second round of chemotherapy. All of that's taking place tomorrow. I am a little bit... Well, I'm enveloped in a blanket of peace, I will say that, but this one is going to be a little bigger mountain than the last one was, a little harsher chemotherapy, so pray for me. Anyway, he goes on to say, plug Hank Unplugged. Hank Unplugged keeps chugging along. No, David, chugging is what you do with beer. But I will keep plugging Hank Unplugged. The new podcast, he says, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute, is the outlet for us to take you out of the studio and into the study for engaging conversations with some of my closest friends and brightest minds around. We already said that, David. If the first couple of episodes are any indication, there is no doubt that this will be a powerful change agent for the kingdom of Christ. The next podcast was so good that we literally couldn't stop talking and went for almost 90 minutes. David, we can't tell them that we did 90 minutes. People are going to tune in. Who wants? Maybe they will tune in. I'm thinking they might tune out. 90 minutes? Am I going to listen to a 90-minute? But honestly, he's right. I mean, these podcasts are so stimulating that I go back and listen to them. It's incredible conversations. I mean, Rod Dreher, Frederica Matthews Green. You think of some of these people, Frank Beckwith, oh my goodness, if he's not one of the brightest minds around, and the conversation we had, you just want to miss that one. I'm not even going to tease it. It's unbelievable. And then I just had one with Joe Dallas. No one knows more about human sexuality than Joe Dallas. All these podcasts, either up or coming up, and... Anyway, I'm not going to read the rest of this, but he does say that you can subscribe on iTunes or on equip.org or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite podcast. And so subscribe. And once again, don't forget to share, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. This will help a lot, and it's another way in which you can stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. David, if you ever give me a big note like this again, I'm going to dish you one here, just like I just did. No, David's the greatest. I mean, he is helping me in so many ways. Without him, I would never be doing social media. Yesterday was Father's Day, and I got some of the most incredible notes from my kids. I just want to read one or two of them. This is from my daughter, Lucy. Daddy, it's amazing how much cancer shows you. Maybe not you, but what it's shown me. I have a father who loves to laugh, who wears green underwear. Oh, she did have to bring that up. Green, the reason I wear green underwear is because, you know, we have these green, lime green bands that we wear because this is a way of solidarity to defeat lymphoma disease or cancer. But the green is for my particular lymphoma. So that's the backstory. Who wears green underwear and has made it a staple in our family. I didn't know the rest of the kids were doing it. I have a father who is driven, who finishes interviews while doing chemo. I have a father who loves, one who patiently listens to his kids' stories, their laughter, and all of our crazy shenanigans, all the while dealing with this crazy disease. In a way, my heart has grown for you more. I've loved you always, but I appreciate your strength more than ever. You're the coolest person I know. I love hanging out with you. I love being your daughter, and I can't wait until the day I have kids and they get to have the most amazing grandfather. Happy Father's Day. Can't wait until the next one. I got a couple other ones I want to share with you. They're really cute. One from my daughter, Elise. I love this one. She's always straight to the point and always draws me pictures. I mean, the pictures are just amazing. But there are a few words here, too. Hey there. That's just like Elise. Here's a friendly reminder that I love you lots and thank you for being so supportive and amazing to my whole life. You're an awesome dad. Happy Father's Day. And then I got one from my son, Hank. By the way, there's one from my son, Paul Stephen. I'm not going to read that on the air. Take too much time, number one. But it's really funny, and I posted it, or at least a little part, the part that was postable, on CRI Facebook. So if you want to see his shenanigans, go there. But here's one from Hank Jr. He says, "Dear Dad, the strength and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is planted deep inside of you. You have touched and been touched by the Holy Spirit. I like the ever-present Joseph of Genesis. You stand in that testing of the Lord. But who the Lord loves, he tests. Oh, does the Lord God love you? The God of our Father stands with you because he loves you and wishes to bring you closer to him. For by putting you through hardship, the Lord graciously gives you the opportunity to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ, and in doing so gives you a chance to partake of his glory. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob loves you for who you are, for you have and will continue to stand firmly in your knowledge of the God of the Bible." This is calligraphy. It's sometimes hard to read. "In the knowledge of the God of the Bible and the extension of his kingdom, I love you so very deeply, Dad, so very deeply. Happy Father's Day. Here is to many, many more. With love in God, your son and best friend, Hank Jr." And of course, I could go through this. It would take a while, wouldn't it, Christina?
It would take a while.
It would take
a
while.
You can do what you want, though.
But it was fun. I laughed and I cried when I read. I got to do Xander. This was a really short one. Xander, "Happy Father's Day, Dad. I just wanted to write a quick note to tell you how much I love you and care for you. Through these hard times, I will pray for you." And then he gives me a Bible verse. How cool is that? And here's the Bible verse. "And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Wow, that really touched me. You know, here's my 13-year-old really expressing the true meaning of faith. That faith is not faith in my own faith. It's a channel of living trust between me and God, and faith is only as good as the object in whom I have placed my faith, and that object is an object that is ever faithful. And you wrote to me too, Christina.
Naturally. And,
yeah, I mean, this is another one of my favorite cards. I'm not going to read this because you're sitting in the studio, but I'm going to read it. You said that every day is an opportunity and an adventure because life and truth matter. And because life and truth matter, I've come to remember that every day is from the Lord and we can use his gifts given us in our Esther 4:14 moments. And then you say, "Who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Of course, talking about Esther, And you actually put the verse in here, and you talked about this, I think, on Friday, Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. I mean, that's a powerful verse in one of the most powerful stories in all of Scripture. And after you sent me this card or gave me this card yesterday, I went back and listened to the whole book of Esther. And the story is absolutely incredible. It is a story of faith. It is a story of deliverance. It is a story of Haman meaning evil to Mordecai. Mordecai becoming what Haman was, the most popular person in the entirety of the land, second only to the king himself. So God changes everything around, but it really hinges on the faithfulness of Queen Esther.
Yeah, that's true. And this ties in, you asked me to say something about Father's Day, and I think that Esther, as well as many other characters in the Bible, you see they don't have fathers. And at church yesterday, I really wanted him to talk about adoption, because I know through my work in youth ministry and with working with kids in missions, and some of my friends, they don't have dads. And I think something that's important to remember is that Christ is our heavenly Father, and that those, you know, of our listeners whose fathers have passed away or who have never known their fathers have a Father in heaven that loves them so very much. I have a verse, if I can pull it up. It's Romans 8:14-17. He says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God's and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." I just think that is an important point to make for those that don't have dads. I mean, it's such a blessing to have you as my dad, and I can imagine it's hard when you don't have that. So I just wanted to make that point, because I think it's a really important one. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ and adopted into his family. So if you don't have an earthly father, you've never known one, or he's gone to be with the Lord, you still have your heavenly Father you can always look to.
Amen. That's beautiful. One other little letter I got from my son John Mark, which really touched me. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your resourcefulness. Thank you for your belief in a power greater than yourself, your belief in God. Thank you for your understanding of the human condition and the work ethic that gives people hope regarding theirs. And, it goes on, but a little sampling of some of the letters that I got from my kids. Some of the greatest blessings are ultimately found in family. And this Father's Day was particularly meaningful to me because I was thinking about the fact that, well, it's not likely. The odds are in my favor. I've got a good chance of going into complete remission after I climb the mountain and go through the valley. But nonetheless, when you stare mortality in the face, every single Father's Day becomes more precious. And I suppose, Christina, that ought to be the way we live anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know. John Mark, I just read part of his note to me. He lost a very, very close friend. Mm-hmm. Just one day alive and then gone. David, same thing. One day he's there, and then I forget the story, but he fell off a cliff or something like that. Mm-hmm. in Africa. I don't remember the details at this point, but the suddenness, the brevity of life and what we do now counting for all eternity.
Amen. I mean, I've come across it a little bit. My grandma, your father died when I was 4, but I never really knew him. And my grandma, on mom's side passed away, but I know that, you know, I'm going to see her again. So that's very comforting. But I haven't come across it that much, so I can't really say too much. But just knowing that, you know, we'll see them again is always a comfort. And that's why I think preaching the gospel is so important, to tell people that, you know, you can have peace if you know the Lord, that you will see the ones that you love again.
Always be prepared to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We will go to your calls on the other side of the break. I did not necessarily intend to go in this direction, but it's kind of fun, a little different. 888-ASK-HANK. We'll take your calls after the break. And to remember, you can get the resources I talk about on the broadcast on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
Moralistic therapeutic deism is colonizing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within. Yet Rod Dreher believes that by rediscovering the past, recovering liturgical worship and asceticism, centering our lives on the church community, and tightening church discipline, we will, by God's grace, again become the peculiar people we should have always been. To equip you in addressing the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort, read Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. To receive your copy of The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In the studio with me, Christina Hanegraaff with her 24-year-old rapier-sharp mind. She came all the way back from Hong Kong to watch over her father like a hawk. She makes me drink two great big green drinks every single day. I have no clue what's in them, but it tastes like it came from deep within the earth. But I drink them every day, and they're probably helping me. But she's watching over me like a hawk, and she's poised and ready. If I don't know how to answer a question, she's there to pick up the slack for me. We're having a lot of fun together. Charlie, first caller up today. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK in Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in and let you know how much I enjoy my ride home due to the way you answer questions in a matter-of-factly kind of way, never being you never just shove your opinion. You take what's in the Bible and you tell people to answer. I think that's awesome. I use a lot of it. I deal with recovering addicts because I am one. And I use a lot of what I hear on my way home. I use that in my approach toward people in spreading the gospel. And I wanted to thank you for that. And I did have a question for you.
Okay.
There's a lot of preachers that I don't watch anymore because of discernment. But there's one that I listen to on XM radio in the mornings. So I listen to them in the morning, and I listen to you in the afternoon. And it's Dr. Youssef?
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
What do you know about him and his ministry?
Well, I remember he's in Atlanta, I believe, if I recall. Michael Youssef, in fact, I've spoken at his church. I forget the name of the church now, but it's something Cathedral. I know Cathedral's in the word, in the title. But yeah, terrific, terrific guy. I believe he was born in Egypt, if I remember correctly, but I'm not absolutely sure. But yeah, he is just a terrific guy on all levels.
Awesome. I want to wish you a speedy recovery. I'm on my way right now to actually go to see a person in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to try something that I've never done. I'm going to lay my hands on him.
Oh, wonderful.
And and ask for God's healing. He's like 6 years younger than I am, and they can't find the bleeding. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What is his name?
His name is Jason Faulkner.
Jason. Okay. Yeah. So maybe a lot of other people will pray for Jason as well. I think of what James says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. If any of you are sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is a powerful an effective tool. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. That passage applies to what you're talking about, Charlie. We're called to pray for the sick, to anoint them with oil, just as James tells us to do that. But remember, we're also told to pray for people's salvation. And what we understand is our prayer and presentation of the gospel doesn't save anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart. And therefore, our prayer for the sick is efficacious if it is in concert with the will of God. And to make that plain, you just have to go back one chapter to James chapter 4, where James talks about praying in the will of the Lord, that this is your will, Lord, otherwise I don't want it. And he says that anything else is boasting and bragging. So praying in accordance with the will of the Lord is axiomatic in our prayers, and what you do at the hospital tonight is in obedience to the command of Scripture. So good for you, Charlie.
Well, thank you, Hank, and you keep on, buddy.
Okay, man. Thanks for your call. Let me take a Facebook question. Here's one from John, and I thought this was an interesting question. Is there a documented case where anyone has been to heaven or seen heaven and come back to report it? Well, just so happens that there are a whole bunch of documented cases. The first that comes to mind is Colton Burpo. No, the first that comes to mind is Jesus Christ. Of course, I was talking facetiously a little bit about the book that became, you know, a sensation in the Christian world, Heaven is for Real. And if you test what is said in that book in light of Scripture, you find out that either the Scripture is wrong or the book is wrong. And that on a majority of issues, and I've written about that in my book, Afterlife. But at any rate, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven. John 3:13 says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Another person that comes to mind is the Apostle Paul. Remember where Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I know a man in Christ? He's talking about himself. It's pretty obvious in the context. Who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. So Paul has an encounter in the third heaven. He doesn't come back and write about his 30 minutes in heaven or his 15 minutes in heaven or his 14 minutes in heaven. They even have books now with so many minutes in hell. But he did have a non-normative experience given to us in Scripture which attests to who he is as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, John the Apostle, he had at least a vision of heaven. But there are many pretenders. I think of Muhammad. He goes to heaven. Well, he actually goes through the seven rings of heaven, and then he goes to the hereafter, and he meets Allah, first human, and the only human who's ever allegedly done that. He goes to those seven rungs of heaven, and unfortunately finds Jesus is only in the second rung. Pretty interesting story, but again, a story that does not comport with reality. And that's the problem in our day. In our day, we have so many stories that simply do not comport with reality. I mean, if you listen to all the near-death experiences, I can tell you one thing. They can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Why? Because they're all different. I mean, the Muslim tells the near-death experience from a Muslim perspective. The fundamentalist Christian tells the near-death expression or experience from the fundamentalist Christian reading of the Bible. So there really are streets of gold. And if you have the Mormon, they have their own variation, but this is a phenomenon in our day that ought to be looked at critically, because it's not only popular outside the Christian church. Today it is very, very popular. It's a cottage industry inside the Christian church. Again, I've written about this in my book, Afterlife, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. You know, I'm going to take, before we go to our next call, I'm going to take another a follow-up on this same question. If I do make it to heaven, how do I know I will never sin and start the fall all over again? Well, I mean, let me tell you, first of all, why you know that. Very, very simple. If you read the Scripture tell us that there will be no sin in heaven, and therefore we can stake our lives on what the Scriptures teach us in this regard. The second thing I would say is that we can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the problem of sin and Satan will forever have been resolved. In other words, there will be no temptation. Not only that, but we will not only have been saved in the port of salvation, as it were, but we will continue on in our journey to union with God, which climaxes when Jesus appears a second time, because at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ will carry a perfected bride over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. And then there'll be no more death, the Bible says, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. So we can be absolutely certain that we will not sin in heaven. We will freely give up the freedom to sin in exchange for freedom from sin. We will be actualized in our choices. I mean, this is, you know, if we really believe this, I mean, we ought to have goosebumps. I mean, think about this. Christ will physically appear again. And when he does, my dad, who died in 1997, he was only 74, my dad will receive a resurrected body. His soul will be reunited with a resurrected body. And he's awaiting that. Now, he's in the presence of the Lord, but he's awaiting that, and so are we. But when Jesus appears a second time, we are going to experience eureka. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's beyond comprehension, because we're not only going to explore the glory and grandeur of God's recreated handiwork, but also the glory and grandeur of God, and never come to an end of either. Again, I wrote about that in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. That book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And we'll be right back with more answers to your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
In case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option, and surrender is out of the question. That's why, as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you The Benedict Option. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from the man that I've dubbed the most interesting man in the world. See his smiley face. Now, this guy's really incredible. That's why I'm so excited about the Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, one of the most talked about books in the Christian world. I read it cover to cover more than once, and I absolutely love the book. It is one of the two featured resources of the month. The other, Onward by Russell Moore, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel, both incredibly insightful and absolutely necessary to have in your library. For those who give a gift of $100 or more this month, we'll send you both copies. Whatever you can do, though, you can order either one of the copies. The quote of the day comes from Rod Dreher. Again, he's the author of The Benedict Option, and this comes from his book, sort of a common sense quote, but I think it's really cool. Here's what Rod says. A church that looks and talks and sounds just like the world has no reason to exist. A church that does not emphasize asceticism and discipline and discipleship is as pointless as a football coaching staff that doesn't care if its players show up for practice. Wow. That's absolutely right. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kelly in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Look, I have a question to ask you.
Sure.
All right, well, I had given the question, but the saying of it is that the person that I'm speaking of, okay, they because their husband couldn't come back into the country because he, you know, was an illegal alien, or they came back to this, they came back to America April 15th, they met another man, and they were involved with the man within 2 weeks. And they're telling me that they were blessed, that this was a blessing from God. And I'm like, well, how can it be when you still are married to that man? And I thought that in the Word of God, it talks about that is adultery. But yet the person, she's actually living with this man and have her children involved in it as well.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Kelly. I mean, I think ultimately, if you come down to the foundational principles, you have to ask yourself, am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you adhere to his principles and his precepts. And so if someone is saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but living in a way that is in opposition to his principles and precepts, then the words of their mouth, their worldview, and what they do demonstrates that they are yet living according to a pagan lifestyle as opposed to one that is based on the purchase by Jesus Christ, where you have repented of your sins and you say, I am now following Jesus Christ. I mean, now, this does not mean that a person has everything under control, nor does it mean that a person knows all of the precepts and principles of the Lord. Quite frankly, I don't think any of us know that perfectly. I mean, we are seeking more and more to follow Christ and what he has given to us in terms of the principles of the kingdom. And obviously, the moment we say, I am a participant, then we must follow what we participate in. And so it's not just about a declaration of faith, it's about actually living a life of faith. So I would say in this situation, most certainly what you have is an opportunity for evangelism. And that evangelism takes place not only by the testimony of your lips, as important as that might be, but the testimony of your love as well as the testimony of your life. Let's tag team this a little bit, Christina. How about a Facebook question?
Okay, so we have Denver from Trinidad, and he starts out with a testimony, which I won't read, but his question is, have you ever been discouraged thinking that no one is interested in hearing the truth of God's word? If so, how did you motivate yourself to keep toiling?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind when you read that Facebook question is a man, and I think I've told this story before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is a man down in Southern California, and Jehovah's Witness. And I remember him coming to my seminars. He'd come to my sermons. If I did any kind of a convention, oftentimes he'd be there. Wherever I was in Southern California, he seemed to show up, always engaging me in dialogue. And it was so fruitless and frustrating, I can't tell you. And I remember thinking one Sunday as I was driving away from a church, I had another encounter with him. I mean, always the last guy, and have this conversation with him, and it's just like nails in the chalkboard. It's like no possibility that this guy will ever get out of what he is entrenched in. And so it's a discouraging thing. Well, it turns out many, many years later, I don't remember the circumstances at this point as I'm sitting in the studio, whether he sent me a letter or whether he called me or whether this was on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I just can't tell you off the top of my head. But I know that this same Jehovah's Witness, I found out, not only came to faith in Christ, but now had a program in a Christian church teaching Christians how to witness to the witnesses. So what's the moral of that story? The moral of that story for me is, look, we don't have to win. We simply need to be faithful. And in that particular case, I don't know all the details. Again, I don't remember all the details, but I likely planted a seed through all our conversations. Someone came by afterwards and watered that seed, and ultimately, God gave the increase.
Amen. I mean, the image I thought of immediately was that, you know, God chooses to use us even though he does not need us. It's like that thing where you're dwelling in the land of antinomy, like you say, where God plans our course, or we plan our course, but God directs our steps, as it says in Proverbs 16:9. And I think it's important to remember that even though we could toil after getting someone to know God or to be interested in the gospel, knowing that God will use what we have spoken or use us in conjunction with other people to bring others to Christ is something comforting, that God is in control. When I went to San Francisco, I had a similar experience where there was a homeless man who they came year after year and day after day to this guy. And at first he wouldn't accept the lunchbox, did not want anything to do with it. But gradually over time he accepted the lunchbox, and then he was like, okay, maybe I'll talk to you. And then eventually he heard what they had to say. So I think it's important to remember that the seed analogy, that God, or that we can plant seeds that God will water, and that we just have to trust him. And it's not about us. It's about him working through us.
That's a great Facebook question. You know what? I can't believe you're 24. I didn't even become a Christian until I was 29. So you're putting your old dad to shame. Good for you.
I wouldn't say that.
No, you're doing great. I'll take just a couple of minutes and maybe even the remainder of this broadcast to bring something to your attention that's very, very important. It's another reason why you need the Benedict Option and Onward, both those books available for those who support the ministry. But I read an article in the New York Times. It's a Friday article, so it's just a couple of days ago. Yeah, and this was a story about Jonathan Williams and his father, Paul. Paul, a prominent figure in the evangelical Christian world. He was chairman of an organization that has started independent churches around the country. He's a man who has preached in some of the largest evangelical churches in the world. At any rate, the New York Times article titled Faith and Family in Transition talks about Pastor Jonathan, like his father, coming to ministry without strong positions on sexual or gender issues. And as he explains it, he had no position on abortion as a pastor, no position on premarital sex. And therefore, when his father, Pastor Paul, told him that he now wanted to live as a woman, the impact on Pastor Jonathan, his son, was a mere, well, an emotional impact. Pastor Paul, who now goes by the name Paula, remember all of this happening in an evangelical church, is still married to his wife, but they no longer live together. Ever the sensitive evangelical Christian leader, Pastor Paula would not even discuss his hormone replacement and cosmetic surgery, because it would be inconsiderate to people who cannot afford such surgeries. And Pastor Jonathan, his son, is particularly proud of the moment in which he introduced his young girls to the person they will now call Grand Paula. His four-year-old asked Pastor Paula whether or not he had a penis. After the laughter subsided, the whole matter was finally resolved. How? Well, everything was now very, very normal to the kids and to the family. Why? Because the way the kids saw Grand Paula was precisely the same way that God views it. Love and joy, pure and simple. For Pastor Paula Williams, coming out as transgender had, he said, enormous benefits for his ministry. For example, it unmasked for him the misogyny and male privilege within the body of Christ. Not only that, it exposed the way Pastor Paula had benefited from her male past. It also exposed the hypocrisy of churches that once welcomed Pastor Paul to preach in their pulpits, but no longer did so. Not because Pastor Paula was transgender, but because she was female. I mean, the narrative is simply stunning. As Pastor Jonathan makes plain, their evangelical fellowship wants nothing to do with such hypocrisy. Why? They're an evangelical Christian church. We are a Jesus-believing church. Jesus is crazy, said Pastor Jonathan. He's upending social structures, and we are committed to following the way of Jesus. My, how things have been turned on their head, which begs the question, how do you engage the culture without losing the gospel, the book Onward by Russell Moore? If you don't have it, available for those who support the ministry, or The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. If you don't have either one of those books, get them. They're available as you support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I look forward to seeing you next time soon.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support to make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.